I intend on not preaching as long as I sometimes do, and so I have one big Christmas thing I want to talk about. So every Christmas season, I've said this before, that so last week was kind of our Christmas-themed service, but of course, we're still right before Christmas, so it's still Christmas-themed, but what happens for me is when I'm not in a book study, I kind of have to start reading articles, reading things to find an inspiration, something, because I can't say the same thing. I got to say something different. It's got to be a little unique, and it's got to be inspired, or I'm going to stand up here, and you can tell the difference between inspired Ben and a guy just sitting there doing the job. So, like, there's two different people. It is what it is. So where the Lord led me was this text today in 2 Corinthians. This is what I wanted to speak on, and so I kind of already began my sermon when I said this earlier, but it's every time now, I'm seeing it ramp up in our society. I wonder how long before it becomes a real problem for Christians. The things we proclaim, the things we say, there was some actress that said Merry Christmas accidentally, was leaving, and she got, apparently, someone went to the, an intern went to the HR department, was like, she said Merry Christmas, and it offended me. And, like, this is even in Hollywood, and she was like, I just meant happy holidays, whatever you want to, she wasn't even all that religious. But it was so offensive to say Merry Christmas, right? Starbucks, Merry Coffee is the best they can do. That's their attempt to say Merry Christmas and appease the Christians. Merry Coffee. I don't understand this, but I do understand it. I do understand it. We live in a lost world. And we need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to understand that. And what I like about 2 Corinthians is this. Turn with me. In fact, okay, so let's start with Luke. We'll go in order here. Luke 2, 8, 14. Same text I read last week, but with a different emphasis. And this is in your notes. It says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. That's what I spent my time preaching last weekend, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothing and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel of a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So that was last week, but I'm kind of going on the same story, but going a little further than I did last week. Turn to Acts 18. This is not in your notes, so you'll have to open a Bible. We got our things fixed behind us, our projectors. However, sometimes it's good just to open up the Bible. Acts chapter 18. I didn't have enough time to, I'd be like 10-point font if I put this in here, so this is the text I decided we'd read. We went through the book of Acts as a church for 36 weeks, I believe. I could be off. 36 weeks we went through the book of Acts, and there was something very telling about chapter 18. It always stuck with me, and it wasn't until this Christmas season that God kind of connected Acts chapter 18 to me with 2 Corinthians, a text that I've always been fond of, and so somehow this created a Christmas message. But verse 4, chapter 18, the book of Acts, 4 through 11, says this, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Then Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia. Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid. Hear this, Christians. turned it too fast. Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in the city who are my people. And he stayed 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Now, 2 Corinthians, it is believed that he wrote this text in this chapter. So with that context in mind, let's read 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18 and say, how in the world are you making this Christmas sermon? We will figure it out. Here we go. Verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I want to pause there. Bold is a very vibrant and important word throughout the book of Acts, amongst the apostles, amongst believers. Boldness. If I say one thing today for you in a country where Christianity is dying and we're all right to just believe and say what we believe, which is the whole fabric of our country, is freedom of speech. But it's being stripped from us. Can I say something to you as believers while you still have that right? Boldness. Amen? Boldness. We have a whole season called Christmas where we get to boldly proclaim it's about Christ. Amen. That's what this is about. And I believe that, we believe that, and we can state that freely. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, I'm going to get into that in a second, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Take that in. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. You want a new favorite verse? You want a new favorite verse? Right there, verse 16. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there he is. Freedom. This is the country of freedom. The Bible says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, for the people of God, there is freedom. Those verses speak for themselves. I'm going to preach them, but meditate on those verses. And verse 18, and we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So, this is a powerful text to me. We come into a time of Christmas. You read articles of the hostility towards Christians, and you can't say Merry Christmas, something as simple as that, without an HR department getting involved. I don't know. I work in a church, so I could say Merry Christmas all day. It doesn't matter. But the reality is this. Paul's asking a question. He's asking basically this. Paul is kind of entering into this conversation. He's struggling, right? I don't know about you. Have you ever evangelized, shared the gospel to someone who's hostile, far from God, and you don't see results, and you say, why aren't you moving, God? Like, I'm sharing the message. I'm sharing the truth. I'm proclaiming the truth. I've traveled to India. I've traveled to Africa. I've done in America. I've shared the gospel, and sometimes people don't respond. What do you do about that? And so Paul has this kind of time, and you kind of see this happening, that he's comparing his ministry with Moses. And that's what this text is about. And he's kind of questioning, there's so much life happening. There's so much ministry. He sees amongst the Gentiles so much life, so much God, amazing ministry taking place. And so he asks the question, does Israel's rejection of Paul and the gospel call into question the message itself? Anybody that's in ministry and isn't seeing a response, oh my goodness. Buddy, daddy's doing his job. You got to go somewhere, Bubba. Figure it out. High five. Oh, air five. Okay. Of course it would be my son. All right. I don't know where I was. where the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out and changing lives. We see that. But the question is Israel's rejection of Paul and the gospel. Is there something wrong with it? For Paul, his answer is clearly no. For the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out and changing people's hearts. Paul states this, that he can be bold, for he is ministering a much better covenant than Moses. Paul gets to minister face to face. He doesn't have to put a veil over his head. He doesn't have to clothe anything. He gets to minister, and he's talking to Corinthians who are already believers, and he's saying, we get to do face-to-face ministry, beholding the glory of the Lord that is being seen within God's people. So what about in our times? Maybe you've been in the same place, right? What if many during the Christmas season do not appreciate, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, or that this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord was born, Jesus. People don't believe that necessarily. So what does that say about our message? I didn't read this book, but a buddy a long time ago said, hey, you should read this book, or was talking about this book, that every time Christians have tried to make the gospel or the church relevant, they've become irrelevant. Because you don't need to fit in times to be relevant. You need the gospel. You need the truth of God's word. You don't need to try to fit in culture out. I'm not saying it's not important to exist and be important in culture. I'm simply saying you don't change the truth of God's word to be relevant. God's word is relevant because good news. And Jesus did come. And he's a Savior. And we have a real problem, our sin before a holy Father. A church that won't proclaim that truth is irrelevant and quite frankly might be condemning many people. This is the truth of the gospel. And this is what our culture doesn't want you to say, is offended by, because what does it do? It says you're a sinner. And that is a message that people get offended by. But according to the Bible, according to the Christmas story, it's good news. It's the best news. It's joyous news. And it's for all people. Amen? The good news. So, we see this text. Some lack of reception, of course, and outright rejection. Is there a problem with the message? No. We are studying and looking at all these different countries where Christianity and the gospel message is very, they're hostile towards Christians, and our country's probably going that way. So is there a problem with the message of the gospel? Is there a problem with those ministering and those not receiving? And the answer is no. As long as you're teaching the truth. As long as you're still proclaiming the truth. And Paul would say to you, after much beating, after much suffering, notice that text in Acts chapter 18, God was saying, you get a break. You're not going to be beat here. Right? God says that to him. Doesn't say there's not more coming. He would die for his faith, ultimately. He knew that. But what does he say to him? Go on proclaiming boldly. What does he say in 2 Corinthians 3? Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Bold. That's the word. So the question is, are you one with an unveiled face? Because this text is terrifying for a person who's not unveiled. But for a veiled person, right? Oh, sorry. This is terrifying for a veiled person, right? So I say to you in this season, as in every season, do you behold the glory of the Lord? Right? We see this text, Christmas is all about the angels and the manger and the story of this is great news. We're going to get to Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection and the death and the burial of Jesus. And it's odd. We're celebrating him dying because it's the best news ever. And he told his disciples the whole time, right? This is going to be better for you. The kingdom of God is going to advance far beyond my miracles and my time here. It's great news. But he had to come first. And he came as a child and he came as a baby. And the multitude of angels said, glory, glory. Amen. Same angels who saw that when demons sinned, God did not give grace, did not give mercy to them. And the angels, those same angels, rejoice in the mercy of God and the goodness of God that he would come, that he would create sons and daughters of God, that we await to see that beauty. We await to see that glory. We await to see what that means. We have no clue. And those same angels come and they say, glory, glory, good news for all people. Amen? So I say to you as Christians, are you unveiled? And if you're unveiled, do you behold the glory of the Lord in this season? Have you been, or are you being transformed into the same image of God from one degree of glory to another? We could use the theological word of, are you continuing to grow in your faith? Oh my gosh, it's just failed me. Someone help me real quick. Ross, come on. What's that word? Come on. Brain fart. Right? Growing in Christ, the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue to grow. Someone say the word. Sanctification. Thank you. Good gosh. Oh my gosh. I've never had such a brain flip. Okay. There we go. From one degree of glory to another, being transformed in the image of God. Have you experienced verse 16? But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So I ask you that. If I had one big Christmas sermon to say, many of us in this room, we say we are believers, we're unveiled, we know, we're walking with the Holy Spirit. God has changed my life. He's changing my life. Some of you may say, I'm only here because mom made me come, dad made me come. I don't care anything about Christ. This season is about presence, and I could care less about Jesus. Well, folks, this sermon, this text, is a horrifying sermon because some of us believe and have an unveiled face. Some don't. And my big story is not to necessarily convince you to be a believer, but if you're a believer and you're unveiled and you see the glory of God, this season we celebrate. We praise Jesus. We enjoy what this means differently than a lost world. Do not be, just as I would say to a Christian who has lost someone, don't grieve like an unbeliever. Well, don't celebrate Christmas like an unbeliever. Amen. Amen? Celebrate as one who's beholding the glory, boldly proclaiming what this season is actually about. Amen? That's what your country needs. That's what your family needs. People may not like that message, but that is the message. That's what we believe. That's what we're banking our hope on. Some don't believe that. Okay, we do. We don't silence our message because people don't like it and it's offensive to them. Okay, get over it. I live in a country of freedom of speech. I've been around the world where I can't do that, and I've also gone to those places and still preached. Been surrounded in India by the grace of God. I didn't get beaten. This message is too important. Multitude of angels. Have you ever heard of a message with multitudes of angels saying glory to the highest? This is a message the world needs to hear. So this season, it's all about Luke 2:18. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth among those with, don't miss it, because you might, whom he is pleased. So the warning, of course, is this, verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. You can insert old covenant, New Testament, you can say the Christmas story. You can't behold the glory of God without God unlifting a veil from you. And I know that's hard because in this season, there's many people that we know that are lost and far from God. But I would say to you, don't get caught in the trap of worried about those who are lost. Find yourself saying, thank you that I'm not. That you unveiled my eyes. Now, I don't know about you. It's kind of difficult for some who grew up in the church and got saved very young. You don't remember a time not being in church and not knowing God. Some of us were like, we were far from God, and I remember the times, just like Paul, that I was far from you. I was blinded by the message. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't care. If you brought that message, I would murder you, right? So we have a degree of people. But regardless, find yourself caught up in, you know what? I've been unveiled. And this Christmas season, because of that unveiling that only Christ can do, I can glory in what this season is about. I can make high and make noise. I can be bold about the most important message this world has ever heard. Amen? And you see that with Paul when he writes Ephesians. He goes on a long list. Read chapter 1. He just goes on and on a tear of theological words of saying, we are so blessed. And he goes on with all these spiritual blessings, right? forgiven, redeemed, predestined. I mean, it goes down a line. It's one massive run-on sentence of this amazing spiritual blessings that God has given us. Now, that is a man rejoicing in his salvation. And in Christmas, we rejoice in our salvation because our King came and provided a way. Amen? So, number one point, starting point, Paul talks of a ministry and a proclamation with boldness. For we have an incredible new covenant that allows us to fully see the true glory that is Christ and have great joy about his coming. Now, I said this before last week. All of the prophets before were awaiting the day. We come into the Christmas season, you start reading around Luke and reading around Matthew, you're going to find these figures of prophetesses and people that were awaiting for an opportunity. One man was told, you will not die till you see this child. And that time came. We have a host of witness of people awaiting this day. And last week, one of my themes was, we need to have that same awakening and awaiting to be with God in the future, whether he comes again or whether we go to be with Jesus in heaven. That same desire and that same we wait to be with you needs to happen. But I say this, there's this long awaiting, but what you see too is believers recognize the new covenant, he came. He came. That which all our forefathers, the whole Old Testament, Paul himself probably had at least 5 books of the Bible totally memorized. They knew prophecies, he came. That which the whole Old Testament pointed to had come, and guess what? That meant it was time for boldness to proclaim that good news, which Abraham, we were told, would be for all people through one man. All people, all nations, one man. That great news, and he came. So the time went from here's the truth and Israel continually fighting with God to be who God called us to be to this is the message. We got the message for all people. The time is now to share that message boldly. Amen? You can't do it by any way but boldly. When your society says, take out Christ. When your society says, stop saying this. You can go to the HR department and you can be wise in how you go about it. But our job is to boldly proclaim the best news because it is for all people and they need to hear it. And that's the mission of the church. The entire, from the point Jesus died to the end of the church, we see a mission. The whole New Testament, the new covenant, everything is about now the mission to get that message to as many people as possible. Amen? So we begin the season of Christmas with this boldness. It's plain. The word actually, boldness, means open-faced, bare-faced. Just say it as it is plainly. So often in churches now, we got to be very careful how we go about saying what we say, right? Flattery. Let me encourage you, or let me find a way to say the truth. Boldness means just say it plainly as it is. The gospel doesn't need a bunch of flattery. We are sinners, far from God. Christ came and died for our sins. He paid your price with his life, and it's a choice you have to make. Do you believe he's Lord, or do you not? Will you humble your knee and say, you are my God, or won't you? Are you going to be fully in control of your life, or won't you submit to God? It's a choice we make. We don't need to make this so confusing. Say it boldly, which means, actually in Greek, say it plainly. Plainly say the truth. It is what it is. Amen? So folks, I say to you, sometimes I think in our country, people are very confused about our faith because we go a long way about just saying what we really want to say. Amen? Just say what you believe. Just say what you believe and stand by that. That's what boldness means. Why? This is why Paul draws contrast with Moses in verse 13. Moses had to protect the people of Israel from the reflected glory, the glory that was ultimately set aside because of their fuller revelations of the glory in the gospel that was to come. In verse 14, he tells us that the reason for Moses' behavior was that the minds of the hearer were hardened. We see that Paul also had so many similar sorrow situations, as I read to you in Acts 18, but everywhere he went, he saw rejection. And we saw the frustration of his heart, knowing I was lost too, but he kept getting rejected over and over. So Paul understood this more than anybody else. But regardless, as believers, there has to be boldness and plain talk. This is what I believe. This is where I draw the line. This is where I stand. If that means you don't want to be my friend or be around me, that's fine. But this is what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to proclaim it boldly, and it is what it is. I don't have to hate you because you don't believe what I believe. But in Christianity today, there needs to be a bare face. This is what we believe. And move on. That's what we believe. What come may come. Read the Bible. There's lots of persecution for believers that plainly say it. But the church is never relevant when they try to be relevant by other means. Just say it plainly, what we believe. Preach the gospel. I'm skipping myself here, but Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can we say that right now? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because good news, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the Gentile. Number two, the season is also a season of great gratitude. I've already kind of preached on this, but we've experienced, many of us, turning to the Lord and the veil being removed. It is clear that only in Christ and by the Holy Spirit can one come to a true understanding of the Christmas story, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the gospel. Only God can reveal himself to you and open your heart. Only God can do that. You got a hard heart. Well, Ezekiel said the New Testament was coming and there would be a time that there would no longer be a hard heart. Right? That God was going to take that hard heart and he was going to break it down. And it would be fleshy. It'd be real. It'd be a real relationship, not focused on all these laws and I have to do this to appease my God. It would be a relationship between me, my God. In fact, the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in me. And there's an experience of God inside of us every single day. Now, I say this all the time to you guys. Is your experience and your walk with God experiential? Because that is clearly the expectation of the Holy Spirit coming within us. It's an experience with God. It's not about a teacher or a pastor or a preacher or whoever. It's about me with God, and the Holy Spirit's my teacher. Now, it doesn't mean don't have a good teacher. It doesn't mean don't go to church, don't go to Sunday school. That's all part of the body of Christ. We're called to be part of that too. But my teacher is the Holy Spirit. Your teacher is the Holy Spirit. The convictor is not some person that's condemning you. You can't condemn me. You ain't my judge. The Holy Spirit's my judge. The Holy Spirit's my teacher. The Holy Spirit's with me every day. That's experiential. The veil wasn't just shown. The Holy Spirit came within. And for me, I remember this as clear as day. Lost from God, didn't know a ton of scripture, but when the Holy Spirit came in, I began to see the world for what it really was, right? Maybe before I'd have been like, no, sin, I'm not a sinner, da, 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 da. Holy Spirit came, veil came off, I was like, yeah, I'm totally a sinner. And I see all these problems in the world because of sin. Like, I see it. I see clearly what this world is. Does this world need a savior? Absolutely. Because if what you're calling sin is sin, I see it every single day. You're not offending me because I know I'm already a sinner. Amen? Folks, I say that to you because number two, this is a season of gratitude. We should be the most gratified people in the face of the world when it comes to Christmas time. People are offended by Christmas. We're not only not offended by Christmas, we have gratitude in our heart because we actually get to celebrate Christmas. We get to celebrate this season. Now, I'm going to say a point that I said last week that I'm going to say again today. Are you celebrating Christmas? Are you going to take some time to say, with my heart, I just want to be alone with God for a little bit and just say, thank you, God? Because the message I'm sharing with you today is there are some who are veiled, there are some who are not veiled. And if you are a believer in Christ, God has unveiled you to his glory. And we get to celebrate Christmas like lost people just can't. They have no ability to. So are we celebrating Christmas? Are we celebrating with unveiled faces the glory of God? Are we preparing our hearts for this season and just say, thank you, God, that you came to us? Amen? So folks, I say that to you. This text has to exude gratitude and gratefulness because I recognize there are some who are unveiled and there are some who are veiled. I am one who's preached the gospel to many people, and I have seen people accept Jesus. I have people not accept Jesus. And the only difference was not the message. It was not what I said. It was some had the Holy Spirit doing something, and some didn't. And I recognized within myself that was me. The Holy Spirit stirred. It was no accident that the first day I walked into a church, I got saved. No question, God was God's destiny for my life. He had a plan for me. So I read Ephesians chapter 1 and I say predestined. I look on the list of forgiven, redeemed. Amen. That's me. Because I remember being lost, not knowing anything about Jesus. But God drew me in. He opened my heart to see the glory of Jesus. Amen? I know, we're getting that time. The babies are going crazy. One last point. We finally come. My kids are chief among them. We finally come to the climax of this passage. I said it when I was reading the passage. Verse 17. Now the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Make that make a little more sense. In other words, Paul is saying, you, Corinthians, and I, Paul, can look one another in the face. Moses had to veil his face. He says, I had to veil my face because these people were far from God, hardened. They couldn't partake in the glory of God. That's why he did all that. But Moses, talking to the Corinthians, saying, making a comparison between him and Moses and their experience as a church and their experience as a people versus Moses' experience. He says, I got a far better covenant in the New Testament than the Old Testament, where Moses, to portray in God, to celebrate God, he had to veil himself because their wickedness could not partake in the glory of God. That's what that means. And what happens? Paul says to Corinthians, and I, Paul, can look one another in the face. We do not have to hide the glory. We are all reflecting it. It may not mean nothing to you, but meditate on that passage. We're reflecting the glory of God. We get to portray and celebrate and talk about the greatness of God. Celebrate Christmas with the greatness of God and the story and the glory of that. How many of you look around and you see some gifts of the Holy Spirit and people are serving and teaching and glorifying, right? Praying, much faith. You see God within God's people. And we get to celebrate as a church. We get to celebrate and we see one degree to another glory of God in us, each other. We fail a lot too, but we also see the hand of God. Amen? Now that is something that Paul is saying Moses didn't get to experience because they had hard hearts, they were far from God. He had to close his veil to be with God in glory. We get to, unveiled, just celebrate with glory. With one another. So, the need is for a people to boldly, unashamedly proclaim the truths of the Bible. We don't need to hide from one another. We don't need to pretend. We don't need flattery of words. We don't need to be fake. What our country needs is a boldness of believers to stand up and say, I believe this. And this Christmas story, I'm not worried about your feelings. This Christmas story, I'm worried about my King who died, came, and laid his life on the line for me. And that's the news you need to hear, because in Christmas, it says it's a good news. And you need to hear it. And it's a good news that I've partaken in. It's a good news that I fully have embraced. It's a good news that has taken me from one degree of glory to another. Amen? Is that what you celebrate with me? So folks, as we come to an end, I want to remind you of this final comment. In our culture, people are often hostile to the words of Christ and the claims of the Bible. But let me remind you, you are free people. Free. What does that mean? I don't know if you ever heard that song. I am free to run. I am free to run. I am free to dance. Woo! Right? We're free. Death, we laugh at death. Right? Lostness, we're found. Depression, all those things we may experience, but we're sons and daughters of God. Amen. And we are free. You are free, my friend. And in this Christmas, be reminded there are some who are totally missing the glory of what this season's about because they're veiled. We're unveiled, and we have the freedom and the amazing beauty to partake of this season and what it's really about. Despite our hardships, despite what we've come in with, we come in, we have one thing at least, if you're a believer in God, in common. Our King came and laid his life on the line and died and came to this evil world from the get-go, was having to run from an emperor trying to kill him, right? That's what Jesus walked into, and he endured it all. He endured it all. Why? Because you were worth it. And you have freedom to celebrate this Christmas season, not veiled, totally unveiled, enjoying the glory of what this is about and the glory of our God and what he's done for us. Amen? So folks, I remind you of that as I end my sermon, as the band comes up. We get to celebrate the joy of this season and delight in the true reason of Christmas in ways that those who are far from God just simply can't. They can't. So, as you go into this season, they can't, we can. So what should God's people do? We can, with freedom, rejoice in what Jesus came and what he did. Amen? So I say to you, Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. Even though I could say Xmas and X is a Greek word, I still want to say Christ. Christmas. Merry Christmas. Will you, in your freedom, join me in praising God, quotations from scriptures that we read, in saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. That's what this season's about, with unveiled faces, the glory of God. And as Christians, because we've accepted Jesus, we please him. Sometimes in our sin and our hardship, we don't feel like God is pleased by us, but you are pleased. God is pleased by you if you have let Jesus cover your sins with his blood. So I say to you as a reminder, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no way to the Father except through me. If that's where you stand, if that's where you believe, maybe someone in this room is like, I can't celebrate Christmas because I know nothing about that God. I would love to spend time with you. It would delight my soul so much just to spend time with you, to present with you the gospel in Jesus. You don't have to walk out of here thinking God hates me, or if I die, I don't know where I'm going. You can have that assurance today as I have. Amen? But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and only through him is the Father. Believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you not might be saved, will be saved. But you have to believe, and only God can awaken that heart. So as believers that have had that awakening, right? It's because God unveiled himself to us. And we come into this season with such gratitude. Amen? With that said, let's pray. Father, thank you for another Christmas season. And God, I pray as we come into this week, many are off. Many have some little more time to spend with you. God, I pray that we would take some special time to just focus on this message, that we are so gratified and grateful, God, that you unveiled our hearts to see the majesty of you. As the multitude of angels say, glory and glory, God, we come into the season saying, glory, glory, because you've unveiled us. And we know that our hearts have been opened because of you, Lord. And I pray that we would just love this season and make much of what it's really about. Thank you for today. Thank you for this time to study your word and worship you and be with us as we leave from here. Amen.